Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this evening to study your word. Be with, once again, all those that are on the prayer list. You know the needs and the burdens on every heart. Just be with them. Be with us in the service tonight. Help everything that's said and done to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit this evening about the preaching of the cross and how it's foolishness unto some and power to some. And before you get to wondering why I'm talking to you about preaching when I'm the one that is considered the preacher, let me explain to you that I don't believe that all of the preaching that we do needs to be done here. I think a majority of our preaching should be done out in the world. And I don't think one particular, I understand that you'll have people come up and say they are called to preach. They're called by God to stand in a pulpit and preach the gospel. Does that mean that somebody that has not felt the call of God to stand in a pulpit and preach the gospel, does that mean this verse does not apply to them? When it talks about the preaching of the gospel. I think every one of us have the responsibility to preach the gospel. Maybe not preach it in a sense of get up with a Bible and notes and verbally explain the scriptures to a crowd of people, but I think we're taught to share the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the word of God through our everyday life. Does it not say, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong or help me out if I'm close to this, but it says that Noah preached through his righteousness, does it not? Or through the work that he did. Basically, his obedience to God was a message that was preached to the people around him. Now, this verse where we started said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." I want to talk to you, and we're not going to spend a whole long time on this because we don't have a whole lot of time. Wednesday nights will be a little bit shorter of a lesson because we're putting the prayer service in there too. I think the prayer service is important. Why do people today consider the preaching of the cross of Jesus to be foolish? I want to talk to you briefly about three different groups of people that are going to say it's foolish to preach the cross of Jesus. The first and most obvious is the lost world. The lost world thinks it's foolish to preach the cross of Jesus because if you're preaching the cross of Jesus, you're preaching the Savior that died on the cross. And if they don't see themselves as lost, they don't see themselves as needing a Savior. It's pointless to them because they don't think they need it. Has anybody ever tried to sell you something that you knew you didn't need? You know, I've had people call me. You get these telemarketer phone calls on your phone all the time, and people call and they want to sell homeowners insurance. Well, I don't own a home, so homeowner's insurance isn't going to do me a whole lot of good, so I'm not very interested in what they have to say. Or they're trying to sell me something that I know I don't have the money to purchase, and I wouldn't be interested in purchasing it even if I did have the money, so it don't make much sense for me to sit there and listen to them, does it? The lost world feels the same way. They don't see themselves as needing what the church has to offer. They don't see themselves needing what the preacher is talking about. They don't think they need what's in the Word of God. In fact, they'll tell you that they think they will go to heaven if there is a heaven because they haven't done this and they haven't done that and they do this and they do that and they think because of what they do, it's going to be okay. You know, a person has to realize they're lost before they need to learn about how to be rescued from the penalty of sin. They're going to think it's foolish. You know, you run across somebody that will not consider themselves to be in need of a Savior. First, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved, if that makes sense. You got to bring them to the point that they understand their need for Jesus before you're going to get very far talking to them about the things of Jesus. Now, these are lost people that are outside of church. I believe the preaching of the cross today is foolish also to a lot of religious people today. Because a lot of these religious people, they don't believe that Jesus is the one that saves. Or they may believe that Jesus saves, but they don't believe that he is the only way to salvation. Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Jesus is the only way to be saved. But if a person thinks that they can be good enough to get to heaven without Jesus, then that's what they're going to try to do. I had a guy several years ago tell me I asked him about his eternity, and he said, "I hope that when I stand before God, my good works outweigh my bad works." I've heard that many times. And then he turns around and he says, "And if they do, then I hope he'll accept me." And basically he's saying there's a chance that his good works won't outweigh his bad works, which we know they won't anyway, but in his mind they might. But in his mind, even if his good works do outweigh his bad works, then it's going to be just up to God whether he accepts him or not. Kind of one of those, is God in a good mood today and accepts me, or God in a bad mood today and kicks me out? And I don't think I'd want to live life that way. But somebody that does not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven is going to consider it kind of foolish to preach the cross of Jesus. And that's human nature. Human nature wants to do things our own way instead of God's way. Human nature says, "I don't want to trust God's way. I want to do the best I can myself." In fact, you'll talk to people, you'll meet people, if you make any effort to witness at all, you'll meet people that if you ask them if they're going to heaven, they'll tell you they're trying. If they're trying, they've missed it already. We're going to see here in a minute, you know, we as Baptists know that salvation is not of works. It's not what we do. It's what Jesus did on the cross. But these people, they're religious. They're doing the best they can. They think they know what God's word says, and they're going to do everything that they can to influence their own salvation without just turning it over to God and letting Him have His way. I had a guy not too long ago, and this guy has, gone on to be with the Lord, that I didn't know much about his salvation. He never would really talk about what he believed. He loved to hunt and fish as much or more than I do, if that's even possible. And anytime you tried to talk to him about the things of God, he would change the subject. But a month or so before he died, he made a point, and I've told some of y'all this story already, but he made a point to make sure me and him were the only ones in his nursing home room, and then he proceeded to tell me that he had come to the point that he had bowed his head and talked to Jesus, is the way he put it. And he had told Jesus that he had tried everything he knew to try and nothing was working, so he was just going to have to turn it over and let God handle it from there. He was just going to have to let go and let Jesus have his way and do his own thing. Now, that's really a pretty simple explanation of salvation. When we realize that we can't do it, everything that we can attempt to do or try to do is not good enough, and we just have to say, Lord, I'm going to trust that what you have done and what you're going to do is good enough, and just turn it over to him and let him have control. But that's not what the religious people want to do. They're kind of like the story of the when Jesus sees the publican and the sinner praying, or the publican and the sinner? But one of them says, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like this other man. I do this and I do that and I don't do this and I don't do that. And he's trying to put his salvation on himself. A man like that, the preaching of the cross wouldn't accomplish much. It's kind of like the lost world. You got to convince them that they're sinners. The religious, they've got to be convinced that their good works are not enough. Otherwise, it's foolishness. Salvation through Jesus' sacrifice leaves no room for personal glory. They attempt to find a way that they can be proud of. Nobody's going to get to heaven and say, look what I did. What does it say? Not of works of righteousness, lest a man should boast. One last group that thinks the preaching of the cross is foolishness sometimes applies to some of us. I don't think any of us fall into these other categories. Sometimes the preaching of the cross is foolishness even to some people that are saved, because all they want to do is preach or talk about the sin around them. Any of you been around somebody that all they did was complain about what everybody else did wrong? And you wonder, have you taken the gospel to any of these sinners? These people that you're complaining about, these people that have wronged you, these people that have offended you, have you given them the gospel? Because that's what they need. You can't straighten a person out outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You ever go to the prison, you can see this. You take an alcoholic or you take a dope head and you lock him up where he can't get to the alcohol and he can't get to the dope. He may be clean and sober, but he's still an alcoholic or still a dope head. And you give him half of a chance, and he's going to go right back to what it was before? You can take sin away from somebody. You can take the opportunity away from somebody, but they're still a sinner. They still have the same problems, they still have the same desires, and they still have the main problem, which is lack of faith in Jesus Christ. We need to preach about sin, but the world needs Jesus first. They need to understand the gospel. Once they get saved and on their way to heaven, then you can start pointing things out in their life and saying, you claim to love God and God's word says this, but you're doing that. What's the deal? And you can have some straight up blunt conversations with them, but they need Jesus first. But to a true believer, the preaching of the cross is not foolishness. What does the Bible say it is? It says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. How many of you in here that know for certain that you're saved and on your way to heaven enjoy hearing somebody stand up and preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ and what God has done for us? You like that. Because it means something to you. It's powerful to you because you've made a connection with it. One thing is powerful to you because it reminds you where you came from. It reminds you what God has done for you. We need to remember that we came from the same side that today's lost sinners are on. And without the cross of Christ, we would still be there. Without the grace of God, we would still be in the same position that all these wicked people around us are in. You know, we think about these school shootings and all of that, and we think, how in the world could somebody's mind and heart get so evil that they could do something like that? Let me tell you something. Without the grace of God and without the blood of Jesus Christ, your heart and your mind could get evil enough to do something like that. You know, we can't imagine ourselves doing something like that because we've got the Holy Spirit constantly steering us away from things like that. But what if we didn't have the Spirit? What if we hadn't accepted the cross of Jesus Christ and didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling in our heart and the only influence we had was this evil world around us? How different do you think our story would be? Just when you see the lost sinner on the street, remember, without the grace of God, you could be where they are. And with the grace of God, with the cross of Jesus Christ, they can be where you are. You could be there. You don't have to go there. But you know what could bring them to the same point you are. Not saying it'll be quick and easy, but you can give them the gospel and make a difference. It's powerful to us because it reminds us what Christ did for us. And it's also powerful to us because it tells us what our future looks like. You know, this world, most people can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Even the weatherman can't usually tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. He may guess at it or get close, but he's not going to get there. But as Christians, we know what our long-term future looks like. It's clearly spelled out in the Word of God. We know what our future looks like because of the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ should be important, powerful to you. He says in verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The ones that see the things of God as foolish are seen by God as being foolish themselves. Does not the Bible say the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God? That man that thinks this Bible and this church and this Jesus that we talk to don't mean nothing, it's just crazy. Basically, God calls him a fool. And you look at them, you watch them, you can see these people everywhere. Turn on the news, you'll see these people. Go to the store, you'll see these people. People that think the preaching of Jesus is foolish. Look at them and see how foolish they appear. Y'all probably would agree with me on this, but if you understand your Bible, if you believe your Bible at least, you know how our world was created. How foolish does it seem when you get on the internet or you get on TV and you're reading about somebody that's examining an asteroid that came from outer space and they think they found microscopic fossilized algae that might be from another planet and they're saying maybe that's how life got to be on Earth. And I do exactly what y'all do. I just chuckle and say, how can you be so ignorant? We know how life got here. God said, and it happened. It was so. If you believe your Bible, some of this is pretty obvious. I have a habit. I like to be outside hunting and fishing, and I've always since I was a little kid, I walked around looking at the ground, picking up interesting rocks. And I found all kinds of stuff. And I can take you to places in Oklahoma, long ways from the coast, that you can't walk across the ground without stepping on fossilized seashells. What does that tell me? I believe God flooded the earth. But they say, you know, there was an inland sea that came up and they've got maps of it and every map is different. You know, it seems kind of foolish to me when people try to explain away the evidence of creation or the evidence of the flood or evidence of other things that God said happened. What gets me, and I tell people this all the time, if people are telling me about something that happened in history and they say it happened more than about 20,000 years ago, I don't even listen to what they have to say because they don't know what they're talking about anyway. Somebody that starts telling me a million years ago or 10 million years ago or a billion years ago this happened, I don't listen to them. That is foolishness to me. And if they really stopped and listened to themselves, they would understand that it's foolish. But God has made their wisdom foolishness because they won't believe His wisdom. Verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. God chose something that seems foolish to most, and that's the action of preaching the Word of God, whether we do it in the pulpit or out of the pulpit. God chose something that seemed foolish to most to bring about something that was really simple, and that simple thing is believing. God chose something foolish to bring about something simple. But that simple fact, that simple act of believing in Jesus Christ is the most important thing that could ever happen to somebody. The main objective is to bring people to a faith in Jesus. First of all, for their salvation. If they've never trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation, that's our main objective. Our second objective is to bring them to faith in Jesus for their life, meaning they trust God with the everyday things of life. Then our final objective would be bringing them to faith in Jesus for their service, where they trust God to the point that they're willing to do something for Him. And that all takes the preaching of the cross. You know, you can take somebody that's been saved all of their life, and if the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with them just the right way, you can get up and preach to them Jesus Christ, who they already know. You can talk about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which they've already heard, they've already trusted, they're saved and on their way to heaven, but that can jog them into a desire to do something for God. The preaching of the cross is simple, but very important. For the Jews, verse 22, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, everybody today is looking for their own thing. They have their own ideas. The Jews, they're looking for a sign. The Greeks, they're looking for wisdom. They were still looking for a sign in Jesus' day. In fact, they came up to him and said, Master, we would seek of thee a sign. We want you to show us something. But for the called, the Jews and the Greeks, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, everybody's looking for their own thing. Everybody has their own ideas. But in the end, God's way is best. If you have kids, the world's going to tell you how you ought to raise your kids. But God's way is best. If you have a marriage, the world's going to tell you how to operate your marriage, but in the end, God's way is best. In fact, the world is even going to try to tell you how to operate a church. But in the end, God's way is best. Verse 26 and following, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God doesn't need the smartest, and he doesn't need the strongest, because the wisdom and the strength comes from him. What does God need? You know, Jesus told the Pharisees that God could make the rocks and the hills cry out if his people didn't. So we're not going to say that God needs something, as in he can't get along without us. But better yet, we should say, what does God desire from his people? He don't need us to be highly intelligent. In fact, he says, not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty, not many noble are called. God doesn't have a habit of picking the cream of the crop. But what he has a habit of doing is taking the ones that are willing and helping them along and making them good enough. I believe it was Brother Odell that used to always say, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. He doesn't take the people that are strong enough or wise enough to do something for him. He takes people that are willing to do something for him, and he teaches them to be strong enough and wise enough. There's not a person in this room that can't do something for God if you have a desire to. You know, we were sitting over there talking to Kim and Miss Kimball, and they were telling Debbie how quiet and shy I used to be, and how I didn't like to get up and talk to anybody or talk in front of anybody. She didn't believe them. I can't get up here and do what I do because that's who I am or that's what I'm good at. I get up and do what I do because I'm willing and God gives me the ability to accomplish what He desires for me to accomplish. Whatever God wants you to do, you can do it if you'll just be willing. Some of you are saying, well, I can't go preach the gospel to people that think the preaching of the gospel is foolish. Sure you can. Think about the Apostle Paul. Now, I know the Apostle Paul was more than likely a brave man, and he was a wise man, and he was a strong man. But you take the Apostle Paul, and you go back in his history, and ask him at some point in time if he could ever see himself preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. What would he tell you? He would tell you he couldn't see himself preaching the cross of Jesus Christ because he didn't know anything about the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, he didn't even believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. But there comes a point that he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Basically, he just says, God, you tell me what you want me to do. And as they say, the rest is history. God sent him somewhere, and God sent somebody else to talk to him. And next thing you know, he's back in Jerusalem trying to preach to the apostles that had seen Jesus themselves, and they wouldn't accept him because they didn't believe it themselves. But God made a big difference. God can strengthen us to do what He wants us to do if we'll allow Him to. Real quickly, why does all this happen? That no flesh should glory in His presence. When it's all said and done, the glory for whatever is accomplished goes to God. Look at the story of Noah. Noah comes out of the ark. What's the first thing Noah does? He builds an altar and he makes a sacrifice. Now, he's not praising God because God has destroyed everything on earth. That's not what he's praising God for. He's praising God that God told him the flood was coming and God showed him how to build the ark. He's not praising God for the disaster. He's praising God for the salvation. The glory belongs to God, no matter what the situation. Job says, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever happens, God gets the glory for it. In fact, let me read you one more verse of Scripture and we'll be done here. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. And it says, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praises to graven images. God's basically saying the glory is His. He won't share it. We were talking about people that would not accept the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. They don't want to turn over the fact that they can't do anything to affect their own salvation. They want to take a little bit of the glory on themselves for their own salvation. It doesn't work that way. Nobody's going to get to heaven and say, look what I did. We're going to get to heaven and say, look what God did. The preaching of the cross is foolish to people that don't understand the things of God. God desires the glory. And God has been more than sufficient, so man is not even needed in salvation. All that's required of us is to believe. The work is done. The glory's been given. All our job is to accept it, to trust in Jesus Christ. The preaching of the cross is foolish to a lot of people because it's so simple. The preaching of the cross tells that the debt's already been paid, the blood's already been shed, the sacrifice has already been made, and all we have to do is accept it. It's so simple, that a lot of people think it's foolish. But it's so powerful that it can cause Christians to carry on thousands of years after the death of Jesus. And the cross of Jesus is still going strong because it's the power of God to salvation. You got somebody in your life that you're concerned about, somebody that you put on the salvation list. When you talk to them, give them the cross of Christ. I mean, it's easy to call these people and talk about the weather and talk about health and talk about friends and talk about family. But when you talk to these people, make sure you talk to them about the cross of Christ. Because that's what God has called us to do. They may see it as foolish, but keep on. You know, some of us thought the preaching of the cross was foolish at one point in time. But somebody kept after us and made a difference. Take the cross of Jesus and preach it wherever you go. Let's stand and bow.